I love olive oil, and you should too. It's one of the healthiest foods you can add to your diet. But you understand now, it's not just olive oil. It's extra virgin olive oil. Olive trees are as old as humanity. Remember the story of the flood? When Noah released the dove, what did the dove return with? An olive branch that to this day is the symbol of hope and life and peace. Olive trees were very prominent in biblical times. They're hardy trees. They grow in very difficult environments. Olive trees can live for hundreds and hundreds of years. They were a staple in the ancient world. They were used for cooking, for cosmetics, for medicine, for light, for religious ceremonies. Kings were anointed with olive oil. We know that olive oil was exported in ancient Palestine. In 1 Kings, King Solomon sent the equivalent of 100,000 gallons of olive oil to the king of Tyre. And people are rediscovering the importance of olive oil today. We've all heard of the Mediterranean diet, how healthy it is. That's because of olive oil. In fact, Joyce and I have gotten to the point that our favorite salad dressing is simply olive oil and balsamic. But it has to be extra virgin olive oil. And let me tell you this. Just because it says extra virgin on the label doesn't mean that it is. If you go to the grocery store and there is a bottle of extra virgin olive oil for $4.95, don't believe it. Don't believe it for $9.95. Unfortunately, the regulations on the labels are not very strict. But you will know extra virgin olive oil when you taste it. It goes through a natural process of extracting the oil, and there is nothing that tastes more delicious. But it's also healthy. It's high in antioxidants. There's a whole litany of health benefits. It can help you with cholesterol. It can help you with prevent heart disease and stroke and cancer and diabetes and Alzheimer's and arthritis. I have some up here I'll sell you after the service. It even helps with blood pressure. But remember, you have to buy extra virgin olive oil. The reason I say that is because in Jesus' day, there were actually three pressings of the olives. The first and the best was extra virgin olive oil. And then you had basic olive oil in the second pressing. And then it came down to the third that was not even fit for human consumption, but was used for fuel. The reason I tell you that is in biblical times, they didn't use extra virgin olive oil for themselves. Even though it was the best, even though it had all of these benefits that I just mentioned, because you see, the best was reserved for God. The first pressing of olive oil was always taken to the temple. It was a gift for God. It was used only in the temple. Only the second pressing of olive oil was used by families. It was used for food. It was used for cleansing, for health needs, for cosmetics. And then the third pressing of olive oil was used for light, for fuel. In the book of Isaiah, the passage that Lori read for us, the passage that we call one of the greatest messianic passages in the Old Testament. It begins with the words that he grew up like a young plant, like a root out of the ground. The word that is used in Hebrew is the word netzer, which is an olive root, a young olive tree. The man who was despised and rejected, the man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest grief. In the fifth verse, we all know the passage, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. The word bruised is much more powerful than simply being bruised. The word is literally, he was crushed for our iniquities. And it's the same word that is used for the pressing of olive oil. And if we go to the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, Laurie read from, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And by the way, the word Gethsemane means olive press. And if you go to Gethsemane today, as many of you have been blessed to have been there, you're surrounded by olive trees. And many of those trees are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Surrounded by the olive trees in the garden that means olive press, Jesus prayed three times. When we were in Israel back in February, Professor Albert said this corresponds with the three pressings of the olives. His first prayer was simply this, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was giving himself totally to God. What did the family do with the first pressing of the olives, the extra virgin olive oil? They gave that to God. They never tasted it. They never used it. The first and the best always went to God. When Jesus went into the garden, he said, "My soul is sorrowful to death." The word is, "I am crushed by my grief." The same word that is used in Isaiah, the same word that is used for the pressing of the olives. The first pressing, he gives himself to God. The second pressing that was used for family and friends, he goes back to his friends, to Simon, Peter, and James, and John, but they're asleep. But if we turn over to John's gospel, we know that he prayed for all of his friends and for his followers. And then the third pressing, his third prayer, was that he glorify God, that he be the light of the world. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus was crushed, that he was crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. By his stripes, we are healed. Joyce and I had the powerful experience this past week of going to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum in New York City. I know a lot of you have been there. It is a powerful, overwhelming experience. We knew that we were standing on sacred ground. I had the same feeling that I had when we went to Pearl Harbor and we stood on the memorial of the battleship Arizona. I had the same feeling I had when we went to Normandy and we stood on the beaches and we remembered the great courage and the great sacrifice. Isn't it interesting that tragic events like that in our nation's history become defining moments, not because of the tragedy, but because of the resolve, the commitment, the courage of those who are willing to rise above the tragedy and create something new, to create a hopeful and a new creation, a new way of life. If it had not been for the sacrifices at Normandy, we might not be able to be here worshiping in freedom today. When we went to the 9/11 memorial, I thought about those almost 350 firemen. My heart identifies with them because I used to be a volunteer fireman. I served for many years as chaplain of the fire department. We heard the story again of how when people were racing down the stairs to escape, they were racing up to save as many as possible. It's all about commitment. It's all about courage. It's all about sacrifice. As Jim said, we will not be defined by our deficits or by what we lack, but we will be defined by our potential. We will be defined by our commitment. We will be defined by the sacrifices that we are willing to make. Because in the garden, Jesus was crushed because of our iniquities, but it is because of His sacrifice that we live, that we find life, that we find salvation, and that we find joy. Yes, we do stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.